on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Friday edition of Invest Talk. It is October 30th. This is the last trading day of the month of October, and we had a very good October. I don't know if you noticed. Not a very good August and September, but October made up almost all those losses. Matter of fact, it did kind of make up all the losses August and September had. But are we up for the year? No. But we're close. Very close. But it's Friday. Appreciate it. And as on Friday, you know, I send out the premium newsletter every Friday, late morning, early afternoon. And this one was interesting. I enjoyed writing it. Talked about the current market, the conditions section, and mentioned a week of earnings. And the last largest company reporting earnings, of course, is Apple. They reported this week. And did you know 90% of all the S&P 500 earnings are made by one company, Apple? The rest, the 10% of the rest are earnings for all 499 other companies. 10% of all the earnings. Kind of gives you an idea that the market, the earnings report for this third quarter was not very good. And it isn't, even though the numbers are beating expectations and you had some surprises on the other side, they're just really not that good. So I talked about that in the newsletter. And some, you know, I talked about the consumer sentiment and consumer spending and personal income. Those kind of couple things came out this week. Kind of important. And, you know, what I wanted to put in that newsletter was to say, well, why would the market in October be rallying so strong if the earnings reports for the quarter are not very good? And the answer is because the market responded to this third quarter earnings already back in August and September. And maybe even further back, maybe starting in May. Remember, the market topped in May. And that wasn't a very big top, but it was a top in May, 3% up for the year. That's all it was, up for the year. And then from then on, it's been pretty much downhill struggle for the market. And so therefore, this earnings report so probably was what the traders and investors saw coming. Now, you should now ask your question, well, why is it up so big in October from the bottom? Why is it coming back? Could it be that they're anticipating what the fourth quarter earnings are going to look like? And you know what? No one knows. But I think the stock market is very good at predicting. Very good. Okay? And then we talked about portfolio management and how to do some fundamental analysis and make sure you compare companies in the same industry and sector with other companies. Don't compare them with other industries and sectors. You don't compare General Electric with a tech company. See, a tech industry and have, well, gee, it doesn't grow very fast where this industry grows. No, that's not how you do it. So in Consumer Watch, I talked about the cost of access. And what I constantly monitor costs, okay? When you're a mutual fund manager or you're managing ETFs or you're managing a mutual fund or portfolio, you need to look at costs and you need to look at risk-adjusted returns and always you don't have to pay commissions for mutual funds. You don't. So why are you? And how about trading costs for stocks and ETFs? How much are you paying? Should be under $10. And that was in the newsletter too, and a couple stock ideas. Now, do you have questions about investing? This is when I ask you to join in the conversation by giving me a call. We're ready for your call. Our number is 888-99-CHART, and it's an anytime number. So let's take this question from our 24-hour listener line.
I have a question of what you think about in the long term, like 10 years or maybe a little bit longer, for the pro shares, the ultra funds that they have for the NASDAQ 100 or the S&P 500. They have the ultra funds, which will give you a double, hopefully. And I was wondering what you think would be best in the long run, the QQQs or the S&P 500. Thank you.
Well, the Qs would probably do better than the S&P 500 in the long run. I'm not keen on leveraged funds, but in 10 years, I think the market's all going to be higher. I mean, there's been very few 10-year periods in the history of the stock market where it hasn't been higher. Only one that is was like from 2000 to 2010. Almost every other period, the market is higher. So I think the market's going to go higher. If you wanted to buy an index, I wouldn't necessarily buy a leverage index. I'm not absolutely opposed to them, but you're going to have some tracking errors. It's not going to do like you think. It's not going to be a perfect doubling. It just won't be. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with using indexes. Nothing wrong with them at all. American investors may soon be plowing tens of billions of dollars back into gold. Notice I said back into gold, not into gold, but back into gold. Radical gold underinvestment is bullish. It's going to be one of our talking points. And remember, I am not a big gold person, but I do have gold positions. But I'm not a big gold person. I'm not. But where there's opportunities, I like to try to take advantage of them if I see them. And that's going to be one of our main talking points today. Yesterday, we didn't get to it, but I will get to it today. Why brands disappear. Brand names of products. Why do they disappear? And I got a list of companies that I didn't mention yesterday that I'm going to mention today that are probably going to disappear. The budget deal, the one they just signed, the one that the House just signed, shuts down two popular Social Security tactics. Don't like that, but these were loopholes they're trying to close. And where college degrees are growing, this was giving me my little heart go pitter-patter. I really like what I see here. Where college degrees, which ones are growing? What areas? In the United States, I'm talking about. I'm saying more people getting these college degrees. And which ones are falling? Which I like too. So I think we need to share that. I think that's pretty fun. I'm pretty stoked about it. The Dow was down 92 points, the Nasdaq down 21, and the S&P down 10. It is very clear that the indexes have now hit their resistance points, and it's to be expected. There's nothing surprising about it. It's not. I worry about people thinking that, you know, it's always going to go one way or another. It never does that, right? So I need everybody to get realistic. And you should be fairly content with this move up from the bottom. But we're still down for the year. Not very much, though. I'm looking at the S&P 500 right now. That's what I'm looking at. And it looks like it's above the 200-day moving average, all the other moving averages, so that's a good sign. I think we are in line for our end-of-year rally. I think that, you know, we had this big move up from a bottom in October, and we might see some consolidation here. That's what I think. We might even see some little bit of weakness, but I think that's going to be something you want to buy, not sell. So, and now you have this low, about 1880 on the S&P 500, 1875, somewhere around there. And you know that's the low made twice, and once in August, once in September. So you know that's it's called a double bottom. And that's where support comes in. You know, when people start seeing that kind of pattern, they like to buy those double bottoms if it goes to a triple bottom and push up the stocks higher. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley. If you think you're ready, or maybe overdue for a retirement review, I will be in San Diego County at our La Jolla satellite office on December 2nd. And if you live too far from California, from our offices in California, we still can meet via Skype or the telephone. We can reserve your time by going to investtalk.com and click on schedule a meeting. I still will do it. We can do it. Or call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. 888-99-CHART. We're going to go talk to Kathy in San Jose. How are you doing, Kathy?
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a question about Maxim, M-X-I-M.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is just kind of related to their PE. Right now it seems kind of high relative to, you know, the regular PE in the market.
Mm-hmm.
And I had also a question about the dividend yield and just, you know, your overall view of the health of this company going forward. And, you know, just kind of curious to know, I'm interested in selling right now and just kind of wanted to get your feedback on that. Thank you.
So you own it right now is what you're saying. You own Maxim Integrated Products.
Yes.
Okay. It's headquartered out of San Jose, manufactures digital and analog ICS for industrial, telecom, consumer, and computer markets. And I think you're right, Kathy, it's a little expensive. The PE is pretty high. And when you look at it, you see sales are falling the last 8 quarters or so. But they're not falling, they're not falling dramatically, but they're falling. It's not growing. But the earnings are growing, so that means they're cutting costs somewhere. But the reason why the stock has moved up sharply from $34 to almost $41 in the last couple of weeks is because Intel has expressed interest in buying the company.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I was wondering what was going on.
So if you own it, Kathy, you could wait to see if there is a buyout offer. But if there isn't, most likely the stock is going to go right back down to where it was at $34, $35. Okay?
Right, and we don't know when that's going to be, the announcement or anything like that.
That's right. Now, they could come in and offer $45 per share, and then it'd probably go up to about $43, $44. But if it was me, I'd probably take profits because it is expensive for what it's doing. It's expensive.
And it's been up just now, you know.
Yeah.
It's been so down for a long time.
Exactly.
That I'm just thinking I could take some opportunity now.
I think that's smart. I do think that's smart, and it's all because of
Intel. What do you think about the dividend yield? Does that have anything to do with any of the other?
The dividend yield is solid at 2.9%. It's not going to go away. It's a pretty nice sized company. It's a large cap company, $11 billion, $12 billion. It's not going to go away, Kathy. It's a good, solid company, really solid.
Yeah.
So it's only because the pop up is because of Intel, and my worry is if they say we don't think so, then you're going to lose all that gain.
Yeah. And if there is a buyout, the shares that I do own will I would still get.
Yeah.
Something for them, right?
Yeah. Hopefully the buyout price is higher than the current price, and that would be my suspicion. It's going to be close to the current price, whatever the buyout is, if there is one. Remember, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that Intel has expressed interest in doing that. So you don't have a lot more on the upside, but you will get the buyout price if there is a buyout price. Yes.
Do you know when Intel expressed interest?
Do I know if they have? Yes, they have.
And no, I mean, was it recent this month? Or
On October 29th. How's that?
my goodness. That's right yesterday. Okay.
Exactly.
So, obviously, I didn't know.
Yeah. So they've been talking about it, and now it's out public. Somebody knew
Very
something,
good.
Obviously. Thanks. I appreciate it, Kathy. Our InvestTalk number is 888-99-CHART. Keep it in mind. What may have been right for your portfolio a year ago may not be right for you now. Or maybe it's just out of whack, out of balance. The market has changed. Maybe your life situation has changed. Maybe you have children. Maybe you're retiring. Let's talk about it. Maybe I can offer some suggestions. 888-99-CHART. I'm Steve Peasley, and this is InvestTalk.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Individuals see money slipping away and figure they're holding a bad fund. But looks can be deceiving. Don't be too quick to dump your fund. That's one of our talking points for Monday's podcast. Please join us then.
888-992-4278. So what do you want to talk about? I think we should talk about gold. And radical gold underinvestment by American stock investors is very bullish. Why do they? Why does this article that I'm reading say it's radical? Radical underinvestment. Well, because as seen as a ratio of value of gold bullion holdings to the market capitalization of the S&P 500, it's down at least a third. Allocations for gold recently at their lowest level in 8 years. So people that are not, don't want gold. Think about yourself. Think about yourself. You don't want gold. People don't want gold anymore. So everybody's out. You remember how to look for opportunities. You look for people who look for things that are in disfavor but are still solid, worth something. Companies that are still growing and earning money. And they're in disfavor. You want to look for the extremes if you can find them. So what does this mean going forward? Now, means forward, the most likely it will return, the allocations in people's portfolio will return to their normal amount. The thing we just don't know is when. How fast will it return? But what it does mean is there's millions and millions of dollars going to be spent at some point to get people back into gold, gold bullion, gold stocks, gold mining companies. It's going to happen, but over what period of time? And the difficult part is knowing when. What if it takes 5 years from now? See, don't get too excited about anything. If it takes 5 years from now, you're going to sit on dead money for 5 years by buying gold stocks? Now, we own a number of gold mining stocks in our managed account, so we do have exposure there in our stock accounts, not our income accounts because it doesn't produce income, not on other types of accounts, not in all accounts, but whenever you see something that's not right, an allocation that doesn't seem right, and you have to agree that there's a lot of underinvestment in gold. But I just don't want you to get too excited about it either. It doesn't mean it's going to go up to, $1,000 more an ounce. It's going to be $2,000, $5,000 an ounce. I'm not one of those people. I'm just saying we should have a bounce. We've had a bounce. I don't know if you looked at a gold chart of a gold or GLD. It's very easy to see the price of gold using GLD. That's an ETF that represents gold. And you can see that it bottomed right in August. And since then, it's been moving up. But the market itself has moved up a lot better. So does that mean maybe you should be in the market? Well, you should. Gold should be only a part of your portfolio. And I'm not a big even then. A lot of times in years, just years, I don't own any gold. Years. Oh, that's what I think about. I'm not a big gold person. I don't like it because it can't grow its sales. It can't increase its dividend. It's just what people think it's worth. How much? What is gold worth? It's worth what people think it's worth. That's all. You can't, there's no, people get scared, they go into gold. There's wars going around the world, they go into gold. If currencies fall, go to gold. That's what you think it's worth. Our phone is always open with questions, whether you're new to investing or not. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
I was interested in an entry point in Terra Nitrogen Units, Mill Valley, California. Symbol TNH, I recently sold it, but I would like to reacquire it. Wondering what price Steve would recommend. I don't listen every day. It's kind of disappointing I didn't get through, but that's how it is. All right. Thank you.
Terra Nitrogen, TNH, manufactured fertilizers, okay, for farmers and crops and to improve yield, quality, and quantity, okay? Sales have been falling for almost 2 years, and this is why they've had problems. It's still a $2 billion company. It's not small. They don't have any debt. Management owns 2%. Mutual funds are very small buyers of it over the last year. Really good at return on equity. The P/E ratio is 10. It's pretty cheap. Now the question is when are sales going to turn around? The stock is you know, it's not going to go anywhere. The company's not going anywhere. I would think, you know, it's trading for about 105 now, and there's a lot of support coming in about 92 or so, and some support right around 99. Those are the two areas it probably will hold. And what I'm doing is I'm going to go to a weekly chart. That's a daily chart. And on a weekly chart, it's about the same. Right around 95 is where that should stop going down. I mean, if you go all the way back to, you know, the recession, 2008, it got down to the mid-60s. Okay, so there's how bad it can get in that kind of situation. But we're not in a recession. TNH, Terra Nitrogen. We've reached the halfway mark in the hour, everybody. If you're a podcast listener and would like to talk to me live, InvestTalk is produced every weekday, Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 Pacific time. You can call live anytime during that hour. And if you want to just call or leave a question, you can call anytime the same number, 888-99-CHART, and leave your question.
Good advice. Spread your money around. Stick to a well-thought-out plan for carefully divvying up your money so no single calamity will destroy your portfolio. Want to talk about it? 888-99-CHART is how to get through right now. This is Invest Talk for Friday, October 30th. Is the U.S. market due for an even bigger correction? What happens to stocks and bonds when U.S. interest rates rise? What's your question? The line is open at 888-99-CHART. This is InvestTalk.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Chris in Louisville. How are you doing, Chris?
Good, pretty good, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I had a question about how to play earnings. Specifically, I own a company, or I own a stock for a company, Activision, mm-hmm. ATVI.
Okay.
And it's in overbought territory. Today, it really held up very well. EA got destroyed today by like 5 or 6% after their earnings yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And Take-Two, I believe, was about flat. And then another gaming company got hit, or Nintendo actually got hit pretty hard today. Mm-hmm. But Activision held up pretty well. Earnings is next week. And I was wondering if I'm looking to buy some puts for some downside protection.
That might be a wise thing. I think that's wise.
Okay.
Because it's really risen up sharply from February of this year. I mean, all year long, this thing has gone up, up, up. Even in the August to September pull downs, it wasn't nearly as bad as the market. And it's done nothing but march right up. I think you need some protection on this stock. It's pretty. And Nintendo delayed a launch of on a smartphone, some games. So that's what happened to them. And Activision, I'm not sure what happened to them, what was the problems, but I think you would be wise because it's pretty expensive now. The P/E ratio is right at its five-year high at 24. Now, the company is a good, solid company, Chris. I mean, I think you're smart maybe to hold on to it, but also to protect yourself as it has risen up really, really sharply. And, you know, this might be the time to protect yourself a little bit, okay?
Right, and the MACD is about to hit a bearish crossover as well. I mean, it looked like it was imminent today, but it actually showed. I was very surprised that it didn't drop even more, but it bounced right off that convergence.
Yeah, I can see it. Yeah, your MACD is right. They converged that MACD. So, yeah, I think you're wise to buy some insurance on this.
Okay.
Okay, Chris.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. And for everybody else, Chris is doing, he's trying to protect his profits. It's what he's trying to do. He can do it with the options. You can short it if you want, and hold on to current stock, short the stock at the same time. There's different techniques. And he's using one of them with using options to try to protect his profits a little bit here. Okay, let's go to Robbie in Santa Clara. How you doing, Robbie?
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
So this is regarding the stock Johnson & Johnson's. What is the upside, do you think, in this current market?
Okay.
So it's always trading at peak levels, right? So do you think is there an upside depth on this stock?
Well, I think Johnson & Johnson is one of those big blue-chip stocks paying a 3% dividend. You're never going to get a lot of growth in it, Robbie. And it's pretty much at its where it probably should trade at. This is about the value we have in it, about $100 to $105. And we own this stock, by the way, Robbie, Johnson & Johnson. And we own it because it is a big blue-chip stock, and it looks like insiders have been recent buyers of it. It has a really good return on equity of 25%, not much debt. The funds have been slowly buying, but they only own 30% of the company, so there's room for that to grow. It's one of those that we're probably just going to hold on to and let it ride, and knowing that it's going to go up and down and it's pretty fairly valued. We probably won't take profits on it right now. And I think it's pretty close to what its value. It might get back up to $110 or so, but that's really stretching it, I think, in the short term, Robbie, in the short term.
What is the value of this, right? So is it at the peak value, or?
I think the value is right around where it is. We have $100 to $105 range in the value. That's where we think it's worth. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for the call, thanks, Robbie. I appreciate it. It's Johnson & Johnson, everybody. You know, everybody uses Johnson & Johnson products. It's one of those companies that will stay around forever and pretty solid. And, you know, when you buy it, something that pays a 3%+ dividend, you know, you got to really think long and hard before you want to sell it, because that's a good solid dividend and they have room to grow it. And they grow it all the time, every year. They increase it. We're going to go talk to Sherry in Santa Clara. How you doing, Sherry?
Oh, hi, Steve. Thanks for taking the call.
You're
doing all right?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
I have a general question. Mm-hmm. How do you find the good stocks to invest when the market is in a downtrend, and especially if I would like to play a decent bounce off of a good pullback?
Okay. Well, first of all, you start with the fundamentals. You look for solid companies that are long-term growing. You have to decide what kind of company you're looking for. If you're looking for a growth company, are you looking for value? You're looking for big blue chips? Are you looking for a mid-cap stock or a small cap? You have to decide what area you're looking for. And then for that particular sector or area you're looking for, what are its normal P/E ratio, price to sales, return on equity, those kinds of numbers. And then you start comparing them with their peer group. And one of the ways you can do that, you can do searches. You don't do one stock at a time, Cherie. It's too hard. But if you go to finviz.com, I think it's finviz.com, Finviz. I think that's what it is.
Okay.
And they have a search engine that is pretty darn robust. You can look for low PEs, high sales growth, good return on equity. You can type in different numbers, and it constantly searches and gives you a list of the stocks below that what meets those criteria. You can say, I want large cap stocks. I want $10 billion market cap stocks or higher, and I want them to grow 10%, and it'll give you a list. It's that fast. So,
okay.
And it's free. That's what I like about it. I mean, it's free.
Is there any good indication that says, maybe something like if a stock or a ticker is holding well during the downtrend or not crossing below their 200 moving average, 200-day simple moving average? What is it, I'm interested in playing, those sharp bounces in the downtrend market.
Okay. You do want to see how you want to compare the reaction to this of the stock to the overall market. If the stock falls, because most stocks go down with the market, most stocks go up, but you're looking for that one that goes up faster and down slower. Okay.
Exactly.
So you really want to compare, like in our recent downturn we had in August to September, it went down from top to bottom about 10% to 13%. If you found a stock that went down 6 and now it's come back faster, that's the kind of stock you want to be watching for, to look for. And it's very, Sheree, if it was easy, everybody could do it. It's not that simple. It's really nice to find them, but it's difficult to know which one's which, you know, because you're trying to, you got to wait till see it bounce. So
it's easy to find in a rear view mirror.
Exactly. You can look back and say, I should have bought that one, but looking forward is much more difficult. Thanks for the call, Sheree. I appreciate it. Thank you. It's just hard, everybody. I mean, it's not easy. You would love to see it, and you know, every once in a while you'll get it right. But basically what you're looking for is good, solid companies that are making good earnings and growing their sales, you know, and you just try to stick with those. I mean, that's what you try to do. You look for, you know, what we talked about earlier, when something, some sector of the market has been sold off strongly, you wait for it to bottom and start to come back. And because you know the ones that with sectors that have sold off sharply will eventually come back. But again, no one knows when. You also can buy those sectors that are reaching new 52-week highs. You can ride the wave, whatever wave they're on. You know, it's difficult. It really is. That's why a good diversified portfolio is the best way to go. You voted on our webinar survey, everybody, and told us what you wanted. Okay, so on our next InvestTalk webinar, and by popular demand, it's going to be building a strong portfolio with less risk and finding strong dividend-paying stocks. Kind of a long title. The date is November 18th. The time is 6:30 in the evening, so save that time. Sign up and we'll begin very, very soon.
InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial. If you're looking for a professionally managed investment program, see the ones described on InvestTalk.com. Click on the Investments tab. You'll see KPP's Select Growth and Income Program, hand-picked mutual funds for flexibility, strength, and diversity. Just one of the programs designed to meet the most exacting criteria from KPP Financial.
Okay, let's go to Frank in Danville. How are you doing, Frank?
Hey, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for the call.
Okay, happy Friday to you. I was wondering if you can look at a stock, LC, like Charlie, like I?
Lynette Corporate Company, Lynette.
That's right.
Okay, yeah, you want to think about buying it?
Yeah, I'm thinking about buying. I bought a small position, but I'm thinking of buying more. It appears to be priced very well.
Okay, Lynette Corporation, everybody. It's a company that develops generic versions of drugs that treat thyroid deficiencies, migraines, epilepsy, glaucoma. It's a $1.6 billion company. I can tell you this. Justin doesn't like this company. I kind of like it. So we're kind of at odds on the company. I like it because it's got pretty decent growth, both in sales and earnings, and it's not very expensive. But there is some question about about their revenue, their earnings, how they're booking it. There's some questions about that's why the stock is cheap. That's why it's not very expensive, because there's concerns. But I like it because I see insiders buying. That always gives me some more comfort. There's no debt. Fundamentally, the company looks very, very strong. But you know, it's fallen from 72 all the way down to 40, and now recently at 45. So usually where there's smoke, there's fire, and that's one of the reasons Justin doesn't like it. He thinks that there might be something wrong with it that we don't know about. But it looks like a strong support. Don't buy too much of it, Frank, because there is some of that question mark about their revenue. So just don't overload. I think it could be part of your portfolio. I have no problem with that. LCI, everybody.
Yeah,
thanks for the call, Frank. I appreciate it. LCI, Lynette Company. Okay, I want to talk about brands. We were going to discuss this yesterday, that are disappearing. Brands, I'm talking about brand names. Why do they disappear and who's disappearing? Well, many brands disappear for some obvious reasons: declining sales and increasing losses. you know, companies go out or a particular brand that a company has goes away. Rising costs that can't be recouped by rising prices, they can't do it. Mergers and acquisitions, brands disappear because of that. Bankruptcies, of course. Shrinking market share, that tends to make a brand disappear. Basically, creative destruction, the act of creative destruction can kill a brand, meaning something new came along and it's better. So why keep the old one? It's gone. Now, some of the brands are leaving, some of them that are probably going to disappear. How about Radio Shack? Have you seen Radio Shack lately? It's, boy. Sears, that brand is leaving. Smart cars in the U.S. at least. Sales have plummeted for smart cars. How about American Apparel, big retailer of clothing. Well, they're in bankruptcy. That brand could disappear. And for those people who are on the West Coast, you probably don't know about this company. Those on the East Coast know about it. A&P, Atlantic and Pacific Tea Company, big grocery store chain on the East Coast. They filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy in 2010, came out of bankruptcy, and now, just in July, they filed for bankruptcy again. A&P has been around for well over, 100 years? And now it's going to disappear. So those are some of the brands and some of the reasons why brands leave. You got to, a brand name is like, the easy way to tell you what is a brand is when you go buy a soft drink, do you go buy a Coke? Or do you buy, people just say, I want a Coke. That means that Coca-Cola has put that in your mind as the drink. Coke. You buy Coke. How about, it used to be when copy machines first came about, you Xeroxed everything. Well, Xerox that off. Xerox it. Now it's, of course, now that's gone. But think about a brand, Google. I'm going to Google it. Go Google it. Brand. They've got that in your mind as the place, because of their success. Googling it. Instead of searching on a search engine, you Google it. So that's kind of how I can describe what a brand. Another brand is, kind of brands are, food products or restaurants. McDonald's has a great brand. You think of fast foods. What's this? If I ask you to give me a list of three fast food restaurants, I guarantee you one of them will be McDonald's, coming out of your mouth. Of McDonald's. Taco Bell, whatever, I don't know. Kentucky Fried Chicken. Brands, those are what brands are. It's really good to have brand names if you're a company. You planted that in people's minds. Since this is our final Invest Talk for this infamous month of investors, October is always very volatile, and it was this year. Give us a call, 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. If you haven't signed up to be an InvestTalk Insider, you're missing out on a lot of free information, useful lists and webinars, and a new info sheet called Can You Afford That House? The 12 Costs of Home Ownership. It's easy and free to sign up. Just go to investtalk.com and scroll down the page until you see the headline, Sign Up for Free to Become an InvestTalk Insider.
And as you know, InvestTalk is a two-way conversation. But if you have a question between programs, you can still ask it, and we'll play it on the next InvestTalk. 888-99-CHART. David, call from Anaheim.
My question is, our company is engaged in a partnership with a company that has now our company and numerous other companies under it. They're offering us the option of taking our 401k, the balance of it, and being taxed on it, and taking it, or putting it back into this new company's or partnership's 401k. I would like to know the best thing to do. I've been looking into gold. I've heard gold on these programs. Pre-1933 gold, post-1933 bullion, and then Roth IRA gold, investment gold. Should I put my $37,000 of my 401k in a Roth IRA gold plan with all gold? How would you suggest that I use this money from my 401k? Put it back into the 401k they're offering, or take it and do something else with it, such as gold or what have you, or something else that you might suggest. Thank you.
Okay, I would suggest you roll it into an IRA, not a gold IRA. And no, you're not going to invest it all in gold. No, that's not a smart thing to do. Roll it into an IRA, buy some index ETFs, some mutual fund index mutual funds, spread it around, diversify it, and yes, you could have some gold. But don't roll it over into a gold IRA where all your investment is gold. That would be unwise. Unwise. Do not do that. And remember, I'm telling you already on this show that we own a gold position. So I'm not saying you don't have some precious metal positions right now. But don't buy into the hype that gold is going to double and triple and quadruple. We don't know. No one knows that. The stock market could double, quadruple, and triple. We don't know that. We don't know. But the stock market, a good balanced portfolio, is very good. So you could roll it into your new 401k, but I would suggest you roll it into an IRA, open an account at E-Trade or Scottrade or Schwab if you want, and then buy a group of ETFs or mutual funds in various sectors or indexes. And if you need help with that, if you need help, call me. I'll help you with it. You don't have to hire somebody if you don't want to. You can do it yourself, but don't buy into the hype of someone pushing some kind of all gold investment. That's just not wise. It's just not. Okay, we're running low on time. Where college degrees are growing and where college degrees are shrinking. And I was very pleased to see this. The highest growth in college degrees, young people going into college, going for a particular degree, the highest growth is science and technology. Second is math and statistics. Third is computer and information. And fourth is engineering. Hallelujah, because it wasn't that long ago, that many years ago, where those were the bottom. Now, the ones that are bottom were on the top. So what's on the bottom now? Education, history, philosophy, and English lit. You know why? Because you can't get jobs in those. You can get a job teaching. That's the job you can get. But you can't get good, great paying jobs. A history degree. Oh, it's nice to have one, but what do you do with it? You could teach. But these, science, math, computers, engineering, those are the growing jobs. That's where we need. That's what the world needs. That's what the U.S. needs. The U.S. economy needs these kinds of degrees. And we're starting to get them because they're the fastest growing. Isn't that great? Really good news. I thought it was really good news. And just so you know, the House just passed that budget deal that looks like it's going to go through. And in that budget deal, there's some things they tacked on that is going to affect Social Security. They changed the file suspend and spousal benefits. They changed it. So they made some restrictions there. Not a fun thing. So now you're going to, I don't know what it is exactly, but you're going to have to look into it. Our hour's up. I hope it's been a good use of your time. A reminder of my new checkup date in San Diego that is going to be in La Jolla on December 2nd. You can reserve your hour by going to investtalk.com and clicking on schedule a meeting. Investtalk.com, click on schedule a meeting. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial, thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again on Monday.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.